inflicted justice from man because of his sin. Then, since it was an infinite God who was offended, it had to be an infinite God who would expiate. So that unless Christ had become man, as God become man, the human race would not be redeemed. So the value of our redemption derives from Christ's divinity. Because God, as we said earlier, died on the cross. But inasmuch as the way in which God wanted the human race to be redeemed was by reversing what man does when he sins. What does man do when he sins? He disobeys God. When man sins, he disobeys God by indulging self contrary to the will of God. What God then, in redeeming mankind, would do is assume a human nature with which then he could undo what man had done in sinning. Namely, he would obey, but obey God. And he would suffer. And only a human being can suffer. But most important, behind both his obedience and his suffering, God had to assume a human will. It's because Christ had a human will on the cross that we are redeemed. It's because Christ is really present as a human being in the Mass. That the Mass is the sacrifice of Calvary reenacted. Because there is no sacrifice unless there is voluntary offering. And the voluntariety, the will behind the offering, must be human. So much for implication one. Christ has to be God in order to merit man's salvation, where God demands absolute justice. Only a God could expiate infinite offense against the deity. Christ had to be man in order to merit man's salvation. You don't merit unless you have a free will. Christ had to assume a human free will with which he would voluntarily undertake a life of suffering, terminating in death, and thereby merit our salvation. The fact of the merit depends on Christ's humanity. The value of the merit depends on his divinity. No human will, no merit is possible. No divine nature behind the will, and there would not have been the value which God demands for man's sins. Second implication, the teaching of Christ. Do we go to 1 o'clock just to get my bearings straight? Christ's teaching, as we know, he taught a great deal. I'm speaking specifically of his formal teaching, like the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew or the long discourse of the Last Supper in John. He has numerous parables, his long sermons. This teaching of Christ, however, was indeed spoken by human lips. He used human language in talking. But because behind those human lips is the authority of the God in the person of the one Christ. He's not two people. It wasn't one person talking. That would be the Nestorian Christ. And another one authorizing the teaching. Am I clear? Whatever Jesus taught was taught by God. He used a human voice, human language, and human lips. But behind those lips, that language and voice was God. And therefore, what's the implication? Every statement of Christ is the statement of God, and is to be so taken, so understood. And of course, what makes it most important, not only is the authority of the divinity behind what Christ taught as man, behind it is especially the promise of divine power to live up to that teaching. It better be God who is teaching, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Because unless it's God, you just can't do it. Not a question of having difficulty, being impeded. It's impossible. That's the second implication. Third, the life of Christ. As we know, what Jesus was as man is really the revelation or manifestation of his divine attributes. And consequently, the life of Christ, all that he stood for, all that he was, is so important only because this man, faith tells us, is God himself. But it is especially the presence of Christ as God and man in the Eucharist, that because we believe in his twofold nature, that just receiving him in faith, just having him near us and indeed within us, provided we believe, but we better believe, we've got to believe, that we receive a human being, well, that human being is God, our faith will be rewarded by the outpouring of his grace on all who believe. It is in this sense that he called himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Meaning what? Meaning if you believe in me. What do you mean, believe in me? If you believe that I, though a human being, am God, I will give you, through my humanity, the graces that I create by my divinity. And finally, the example of Christ. The imitation of Christ of a Kempis, or by now the, I dare say, hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours we've spent in prayer over the years, much of which, I'm sure, was meditating on various aspects of Christ's behavior, his practice of virtue, his patience, humility, kindness. In today's gospel, by the way, the only occasion that exegetes tell us, I take somebody else's word, that Christ showed indignation with his disciples was, well, today, in the Gospel of Mark, when they try to keep the mothers from having their children approach Christ. all the virtues of Christ, including his righteous indignation. You know that's a virtue? What virtue would righteous indignation be? Please? The virtue of well, it was first of all the virtue of justice. It was also the virtue of charity. Because it is good for the disciples to hear it, and it's good for us. And whatever we do that's good for somebody is an act of charity. Even though in the process, when we do the person good, how I like to say this, we hurt them. Do you believe that? In any case, Christ is the model for us to imitate. Why? Because all the virtues that he practiced as man were the attributes of his divinity in action. The only reason, therefore, why Christ is the exemplar of sanctity is because, as we know, all created holiness is only God-likeness. God alone is Christ on one dramatic occasion. Remember, he insisted, who alone is holy but God? In his essence, only God is holy. But we become as holy as we become like God. The question is how? And this is the great contribution of Christ to the sanctification of the human race. In showing us how. Except for God's becoming man, we would know what sanctity means. Because God is very clear in what he commands his creatures to do. We would even know why. Because otherwise he would punish. Oh, but we could say, dear Lord, would you please show us how to become like you? That's what God did when he became man. Christ is the way. He is, therefore, the path. He is the road to salvation. And with this I close. Augustine says, Christ is at the same time both the way and the life. He is the way as man. He is the life as God. We reach Christ, the God, by walking the path of Christ, the man. It's 1 o'clock. Did we see the Angelus? Pardon me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.